The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment, no maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scars. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone needs to thank me today because Jeremy's feet are just on a different. Anyway, I made him put socks on. So everyone on the video side, you're welcome.
Would you say that they're the average dad quality?
Oh my God.
Roll the fucking intro.
Let's go home. Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to Wild Till 9, our weekly podcast. Stop, drop, roll, rate the pod, leave a comment.
You know, it's not necessarily our weekly podcast.
Yeah.
It's your weekly podcast.
It's your weekly podcast. Yeah. We pod for you.
Yeah.
We pod for you, 100%.
Question.
Yeah.
Well, we were like talking about things and all these things and all these things, like, you know, we want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And something that we didn't talk about that I feel like is very important to talk about.
Okay.
Am I your type?
No, absolutely the fuck not. No.
Why?
How do I just feel as if, so here's the thing is that I love you so much. I love you so much.
Mm. We have enough things to talk about. You don't have to fill the hour with bullshit. You can just get to it.
Just get right to it.
Yeah.
Okay. No, but I just feel like I just need to preface what I'm about to say with just that, like, I chose you and I love you.
Okay.
No, but you're just absolutely not my type whatsoever. I would say.
Okay.
I've never dated anyone that has as much facial hair as you. And that was a first for me that I didn't know if I was going to get past. If I'm being completely honest, for some reason, I don't know why, I've always hooked up with and dated people that don't have a ton of facial hair.
Well, the majority of your hooking up and dating was with prepubescent boyfriends. So
babe,
what?
Jealousy doesn't need to happen when we're dating.
No, but they were in high school and before, so they would not have facial hair. Those people probably have facial hair now.
No, none of them do.
None of your boyfriends have facial hair.
No.
Zero.
Zero. Not really.
Well, I stand corrected.
Like a really gross, like, puby stash. All of them for some reason. Okay. What?
Puby stash?
You know exactly what kind of stash I'm talking about, though, when I say puby stash.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other word to describe what.
No, I think there probably are a few ways to describe.
No, it's just not the same. Stash? Puby stash. It has to be puby stash.
So I'm not your type.
So you're not my type.
Because I have facial hair?
Well, that was probably, like, the first thing that I was like. Well, also too, I feel like when you're as pretty as you are,
okay,
I was like, oh, this guy's a douchebag for sure. And like, see, this is why I had to preface it to say that I choose you. I love you.
No, keep going.
No, you're just like, this is going to sound so mean towards everyone that I've ever dated prior to you. You're just more manly than some of the other guys I've dated. Taller, hairier, just more like of a man versus a boy. And I will say that I definitely have gone through phases of being attracted to like a very baby face, like softer features for sure. Like my prime candidate for someone that I have a crush on, especially in high school, was like a baby face skater boy, like just like a skater boy with like a baby face, and just like have never really been into like the beard, the mustache. I feel like I had so many friends that like love the look of like the lumberjack guys.
Right.
That's never been me.
And am I in any way a lumberjack guy?
But I just feel
I wore plaid once and you about shit yourself. You were like, that's my dad wears that shirt. Don't wear that shirt.
You did wear a shirt that my dad straight up has.
I love that shirt.
Well, I'm so glad.
And he does not have that shirt.
Yes, he does. The blue one?
That shirt was hundreds of dollars.
Oh yeah, Greg would never pay $100 for a shirt. No, but
hundreds of dollars.
Greg would never pay more than $100 for a shirt. So no, he doesn't have that shirt, right. But he has like the cheaper Mark's Work Warehouse version of that shirt.
What version?
Mark's Work Warehouse. Maybe that's only in Canada.
Mark's Work Warehouse?
Mark's Work Warehouse. It's like where you can also, it's like, oh my God, Canadian guys everywhere love this store. It's like you can buy tools, but you can also buy work boots and also a sweater all in the same place.
I will never have a need to go within a mile radius of this store.
No, you really don't. So anyway, so I just feel like there's like baby face, no facial hair, and then lumberjack is all the way at the other end. Okay. And you fall somewhere in the middle there, but I just never ventured even to the middle of this scale of facial hair. I made it with one dude.
You were waiting in the kiddie pool, literally.
Okay, no. I mean, like, they were men, but just didn't have facial hair just because they're not sprouting hair. Also, there's just like so many races that just don't really, like, I mean, if I was a guy, I probably wouldn't have facial hair just because I'm half Asian.
Both of your cousins have facial hair.
No, they both have pubic stashes when they try and do that.
She didn't say that to you guys.
Yes,
I did.
That was Michael Matthew. You both have pubic stashes when you try and do facial hair, and you both know that.
Okay.
But yeah, you are hairier, prettier, and more manly than my normal type. And maybe this is like an insecurity thing for me where I just feel like I'm not mature enough or good-looking enough.
We're going to get into that, absolutely.
To like date someone who looks like a full-ass man.
Right.
But, and also too, like I before I met you, had made out with a dude who had probably about the same amount of facial hair as you.
This is the guy that you made out with the night before you met me?
Yes.
Okay.
Did I line up two dates back to back? Maybe.
Crash girl.
I told you when I got out of my last relationship, I was like, yo, I'm about to be single.
No, I didn't say that in a negative or condescending way. I was just like, yeah, you're like player shit.
I was about to go on a long journey of some player shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had two dates lined up back to back, but that in 2 days, whatever. It's not like it was the same day. Anyway, he had probably about the same amount of facial hair as you, and we ended up like making it refer for a little bit at the end, at the end of the night, and my face got so ripped up, and it was just like I was like, I don't know, this is a lot, and it was the first like hairy dude that I had made out with, and it was like same thing, just like stubble. But I also feel, and I feel like we've gone through this journey together with facial hair, is that there's a length that is, when it's really short, it's like fine, and then it grows by the end of the day, and then it's prickly and hurts and is like exfoliation that you don't really want on your skin. But then when it gets like a little bit longer, like one day old for you, it gets soft again because it's not, no?
No. I'm just wondering how many people are still with us, but you keep going.
No, it's true. It's an art and it's a science. And I'm sure everyone that's
all
dating.
All right, ladies, get in the comments right now. Do you or do you not like a dude with facial hair?
Yes, that's our question of the pod is, do you or do you not like facial hair? What's your preference? And also, like, I just like don't know if I could get down with like a dude with a beard.
I mean, fortunately, I don't have the patience for it. Like I have like a 5 o'clock shadow all the time. Like I haven't shaved my face like with an actual razor.
I would die to see that.
One day. I haven't shaved my face with a razor in like since, I don't know, like 10 years probably.
Right.
I don't like it. And also like I do that and it already comes at like a 5 o'clock shadow by noon anyway. So it's
literally
like,
you take a breath and hair comes back out of your face.
Right. And also I notice like when I work out in the morning, like if I shave before I work out or like trim it down before I work out and then I work out for whatever reason, I need to do it again after. I don't know if it's like I induce more hair follicles.
Testosterone and I don't know.
But like I've had this for I don't even know how long. And
I feel like you came out of the womb with a 5 o'clock shadow.
I assure you I did not.
I feel like you did.
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, in my head you did and it's a good image.
Okay. So I'm not your type for about 7 reasons.
For about 7 different reasons.
All of them having to do with stereotypical hair and body things.
Yeah. But personality wise, I have come to realize that you are my type. I feel like as I was going through the journey of aging, you are looking for something compatibility wise that's different. every time you get into a new relationship. So I feel like when we...
I think you have overthought your way into thinking that every time, yes.
I told you it's really stressful up in my brain.
Yeah, no,
it's
definitely.
Very stressful. It's, I overthink and it's very stressful up here, I assure you. But compatibility-wise, for my type, when I met you and you checked all my boxes personality-wise, and like obviously you check a ton of boxes of like being attractive, having great hair, and having good teeth
you
and stuff like
really
that.
You were really focused in on the hair thing.
What I'll do you always mean, remember... The hair thing?
I'm like, I feel like I care about my hair, obviously. And like, I want it to look good and I go get a haircut every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So like, obviously I care.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of times that I feel like you mentioned just how important and attracted and everything you were to my hair and just how much I had of it.
It was how much you had of
it.
Yeah. 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 Like I love your style. It's a great style. It totally works for your head for sure. And it's less about like, I've never really been with a dude who really cares that much about their hairstyle. So hairstyle, I'm like, whatever. Like as long as it looks acceptable. But I'm just so jealous of how much hair you have. You have so much damn hair. If I had that much hair, I would have the most luscious locks in the world and also would not need to sit in my hairstylist chair for 3 hours getting extensions.
And my boy Rodante thins this thing every 2 weeks. Like he's constantly just thinning.
Fuck you. I have to thin my hair. No, I sit in the chair for 3 hours and add hair to my head. So it must be nice. Anyways, am I your type?
Sure.
That felt...
Well, here's the thing. I have, I've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm single and looking for girls to have more of a recreational relationship with.
Recreational. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very skin level. Let's be honest. I'm not like, not looking through and trying to like find a certain type or whatever. It's like, I really do. Like when you see guys like just swiping right left very quickly, I will never look at a second picture. Because to me, never. And not to say I won't look at a second picture.
What?
Like, I'll look at a second picture once I've already swiped. But for me, I want to be able to look at you and my first gut, like, animalistic reaction, yes or no.
Oh, my God.
No, but you know why?
Why?
It's not just about, like, what they look like. To me, that girl put that picture first.
Uh-huh.
And the reason she put that picture first is because that's the first impression. So a lot of times... It wouldn't even be like, oh, I'm that attracted to that girl. It's like a funny thing. Or like, it's something where like, oh, that's quirky. Or like, that's different. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. You're telling me that you just didn't see a hot girl and swiped right?
Of course. Of course.
But I'm saying, like, it's not deeper than that, babe.
No, but like there were some girls for sure that like did some like ironic, funny things. That it's like an inside joke you already have kind of thing that I was like, oh, that's funny. Right.
Okay.
But as far as my type.
Wait, I'm still so hung up on that you've never looked at a second photo.
I mean, I did after I swiped and like we matched or not, but like I was not going to sit around and just go,
I would never swipe right on someone that I haven't like done a full analysis of their profile, looked at all their
and
photos.
And no one is surprised by that answer.
No one's surprised by that. But no, I just feel, I just feel like for all the people like me who overthink the shit out of their profile, to hear someone like you say that you have never looked at second photo, I'm like, well, damn, I spent so much time like organizing and making it strategically. Like, here's a photo of me by myself. Here's a photo with me with my friends. Here's a photo with me and my dog. Here's, you know what I mean?
Hey, like, Lauren, remember how I sent you the picture of the screenshot of our very first conversation on Hinge?
Yeah.
And what was your picture?
Me in a bikini.
You looking hot as fuck in a bikini.
I mean, yeah, strategic.
And you know what? You got the right.
I did get the right. I got the right. Hell
see?
Yeah, I got the right. I got the right.
Like, hot. Okay, got it. I'm in.
Yeah, I guess.
What's wrong with like the idea of like, love at first sight? It's like, are you, like, when you like break it down, I feel like I've like seen like psychologists, like the study of just like every single person that you come in contact with, like your body goes through like up 74 different like, analyze like this,
reactions,
that, everything else, whatever.
Yeah.
Just like body language, the way they talk, the way, is it something that's like similar to you? Are they different? And to me, it's just like, you see a picture and especially from someone who like, I work in like a people business, you put whatever foot you wanted to put forward and either I liked it or I didn't.
That's true. I mean, I guess when you see someone in person too, like you see them in the clothes they're wearing, the hairstyle they chose, the makeup they chose. So then that's like, you get one shot with that too for what you look like. I that all makes very so much sense for sure. And I understand that. I feel like I was just shocked to hear that because I just put so much
effort. Is this the first time that I've shared this with you?
I think so,
well,
yeah.
You've seen me swipe for friends before too.
You go so fast.
Yes, it needs to be.
No, but what if you make a mistake?
Well, that's what, you buy premium so you can go back.
Yeah, I know, but not everyone buys premium. I did.
Listen, if you're going to commit to it, your first instinct, you're going to commit.
I guess.
Anyway, are you my type? I don't know if you're necessarily like my type or whatever, but my type is this, like,
Does your type have bigger boobs? Is that it?
No.
Is that it?
No. No, but like for me, I've told you, like, my type is a mixture. Like, my type honestly has very little to do with why they are attractive. To me, the reason they are attractive is because of their passion and drive towards mm-hmm. whatever it is that they do.
Right.
And so I don't know exactly what the fuck you do, but I was attracted to something.
Yeah. Well, I'll never forget on our second date, I forget how it came up. Kind of a deep conversation for our second date, but you made the example of like, yeah, I don't know. Like if just like, imagine if someone was like super into like knitting, like I love the passion behind that. And like, I find that so attractive. And I was like, got it. So start knitting.
Right.
Got
yeah.
It, got it. Note to self.
I'm not sure. Like my like ex-girlfriends like have been performers, but they've also like, one of my ex-girlfriends was like into track. Like she was a D1 athlete. Like, do I care about pole vault? No, but she did, and she gave a shit, and...
Yeah, passionate about something.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean...
Unfortunately, that passion also means she had a chiseled body.
Yeah, wow, love that.
Yeah.
I don't really know the art of the pole vault, but yeah,
yeah
I
you do.
Feel like... That it didn't even get there. It wasn't even good.
Oh, come on.
It wasn't even good.
Whatever. Our 96.1% of the female audience, maybe they didn't love it, but that 3.9% of guys.
The dudes.
Yeah.
The straight dudes yeah. listening with the their
ones,
girlfriends.
The girlfriends that are like, you're going to fucking sit there and watch this, okay? Yeah. That was for us.
That was for you guys. Well, I'm glad that you could all share that together.
Mom and Lauren's mom, you, this one's not for you guys either. You can log on.
Yeah, you can log
Actually,
on.
Actually, you can just skip ahead to like halfway through.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I feel like don't say that too early.
Well, we'll get back to you. I mean, so. And obviously it's been years now later, but what was it about me that was most attractive to you? And not necessarily from like a physical standpoint, but right. what was that thing that was like, if you had to pick one, that's why you felt like you wanted to move forward with this?
You weren't a YouTuber.
Okay.
You didn't want to be famous.
Got it.
And you didn't want to exploit me with clickbait.
That is true.
That was so attractive to me. I was like, I just want to date someone normal. I want to date someone that has a 9-to-5. I want to date someone who like is not a part of the internet community ecosystem that is driven by fame and likes and clicks. I was like, I need to have, because I mean, no matter like who I'm friends with, like because that is my job, I'm always going to be connected to that. So I need some part of my life to be separated from that.
Right.
And that was the biggest driver of being like, oh, like, you're funny, you're nice, you're polite, and you're not trying to be famous.
Well, also, not to like, more reasons than to like me, but because I worked in and around the industry.
Yeah.
And knew all of the parts of it.
So, I got so lucky because you're kind of best of both worlds, that you don't want to be famous and you're not a creator / influencer. And you still understand what I do and like the need to like be on my phone a lot and the need to like vlog some of the things that like I do and you might be in the background of. Like, you understand how all of that works and understand the ecosystem, but don't want to be a part of it in the way that my past relationships were.
Yeah, like the thing that drives me and my passion and my interests aren't directly related to the things that I think people mistake for being like the fun and cool and sexy things about being internet famous.
What do you mean?
I'd rather be known for being one hell of a like salesperson in tech and business.
Oh, right.
And like, if I got famous off of that,
yeah,
I'd be all about it kind
right.
of thing.
Well, like, that's like an accomplishment that you've like worked right. so, not that I haven't worked hard for like what I do too, but right. it's a different, I totally understand.
But to me, it's like, if I do what I do at my 9-to-5 mm-hmm. and work my ass off and I get to do it on these panels and go speak here right. and be known for this, like, hell yeah. But I'm not going to like pick up a camera tomorrow because I'm just like, and I'm selling some software today. Like,
right. On a vlog channel.
Yeah. No,
yeah, that's not it. So anyway, that was my number one checklist box for you to check.
Right.
And you checked it. Congratulations.
Great.
You checked it.
And you had that great ass.
And you know what? When we met, my booty was actually not that great. It's come a long way since then.
It was a joke, but yeah, okay. Thank you for taking it seriously.
And yeah, for sure. No. Booty gains have been much more real in the past couple of years than they were when we met.
Fair enough.
I randomly have had so many conversations recently, and someone actually requested this in my DMs today on Instagram when I asked what we should pod about today. Is love languages. And I love talking about love languages. I love it. It's so nerdy, but like, it just makes so much sense. And I genuinely think that if you don't understand love languages, like yours and how you give love and how you receive love and how your partner gives and receives, like your relationship could just, it could change everything. Totally. Everything. It's so important Because if you're not seeing eye to eye and don't understand like the things that they're doing and they think they're giving 100% of love, but it's not how you like to receive love. So you're reading that as like 0% and they're over there thinking that they're giving 100. It just like, it just sets you off on two different journeys and you need to be on the same page. And not to say that you have to have the same love languages. You just have to understand them.
You definitely don't have to have the same love languages, but the things that you enjoy doing should probably be in line with the things that they enjoy receiving.
I feel like that's more on a compatibility side mm-hmm. versus love languages.
For sure.
I feel like a love language is more transactional than like doing an activity. Wait, okay, so I made Jeremy take the love language quiz about a couple hours ago, and I'm going to just pull up my results.
And for those who don't know the love languages, could we go ahead and list those off real quick?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, my God. Yeah, the love languages. Like there's
in terms of setting
really,
this one up.
Really dove in. Yeah, and didn't D-minus. Do a great job. Yeah, okay. Okay, so there's this dude, Gary Chapman, in 1992.
Great year.
The year you were born. Great year, babe. Great year.
Year of our Lord.
And it's the five love languages. And we ran into another article that was like the millennial love languages, but we'll get into that. They're semi-ironic. but the original ones are words of affirmation, physical touch, acts of service, receiving gifts, and quality time. And I actually can't find the screenshot of what my like exact percentages of the breakdowns were, but you're a little bit of all of them, but obviously they like rank to say like which one is your most meaningful way that you like to receive love. And I would feel douchey saying this. I feel like the people who are the number one for like receiving gifts feel douchey, but that's just how you like to receive love. So whatever, no judgment here.
I've had some girlfriends before that were definitely number one in the receiving
gifts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean like that was, and it was funny because I feel like when I was like, even like just casually talking to girls back in my single days, like in business world, I'd be, you know, in New York or Dallas or Vegas or San Francisco, whatever for work. And you could just see the look of sadness in their eyes when you came back and for whatever reason you didn't like grab a I love SF t-shirt for them. And you're like,
oh, cause just, yeah.
I'm like, ma'am,
aww.
We got drunk together once. Aww. Come on. Anyway,
would you buy me an I heart SF t-shirt?
I'd buy you all the I heart SF t-shirts.
Okay.
If that's what you wanted.
Okay.
Anyway, so mine are 33% acts of service, which is my highest.
Yeah, mine too.
Okay. 7% physical touch.
Mine too.
7% receiving gifts. So apparently,
don't have to ever buy you a present. Okay, great. No, love that.
And then 27% words of affirmation and 27% quality time. I'm fucking balanced.
My number one was acts of service. Mm-hmm. Number two and three were tied with, words of affirmation and receiving gifts.
Okay.
So what are you going to get me for Christmas?
We'll talk about it.
Okay. Anyway, let me read through these in case it's the first time you're hearing about them. So words of affirmation, the example is like sending an unexpected note or text or card, like saying how much you appreciate and or love them. So yeah, it's encouraging, affirming, appreciative, and listening actively. Physical touch is nonverbal use of body language and touch to show love. So like not sexual, it's like hugging, kissing, cuddling, whatever, like holding hands, like that kind of stuff. I love how we, neither of us were just like robots, like don't need physical touch.
I just like when they're asking the questions, they're very much just like, would you prefer come home and have your, you know, significant other have taken care of a task for you when you're tired?
Right.
Or when you're out in public, they make sure and hold your hand. I'm like, her sweaty ass palms, I'm good. Just do some things for me that make me feel.
Yeah, right.
I'm like to me, it's not even close.
Or it's like a really good example. I feel like that was like a strong indicator for me is like one of the questions was like, would you rather have a hug or be told that you're appreciated? And like being told that I'm appreciated, it speaks volumes to me versus a hug. Like, I don't, you hug everyone.
Not anymore.
Not truly not anymore. Bitch, don't come close to me. So receiving gifts, thoughtfulness, make your spouse a priority. So give thoughtful gifts and gestures, express gratitude when receiving gifts. So that's like picking up the SF t-shirt when you're at the airport.
Right.
Yeah, I love a like gift. And I feel like gifts almost makes it sound like it's like something bougie and expensive, but it's just like if you're,
it's a token of appreciation.
That's exactly what it is. Like if you're passing your guy's favorite shared bakery and you like happen to grab their favorite cookie on the way home, like that can make me cry on a day when I'm PMSing. You know what I mean? Of how much I love that.
I'll always remember.
Oh my God. Yes. Go.
The act of kindness, right? Or act of service?
It would have been an act of service slash gift giving. Right. Yeah.
That I got you, not like unbeknownst to me, but like I wasn't thinking about like, this is going to be a gift for her kind of thing. I should do this. Are we thinking the same thing?
Yes, for sure.
So like I replaced the air filter in my apartment.
And we had been dating for maybe a couple months. And so
LA, kind of smoggy, whatever kind of thing. So I replaced the air filter. And like I usually get this one version that I would like, it's more like equipped for what I would need. But they had this version that was specifically like hypoallergenic for things that like I knew that she has allergies toward.
Like dust and pollen.
Right, yeah. Because like, and I didn't have like a dog, so it didn't really matter. But like I got things that were like, okay, cool. If she like, when her and Moose come and spend the night and like she wakes up in the morning, this will be better for her. And I like just like mentioned that, and I was like, "Oh yeah, that'll be better this time because I got this air filter, so you won't have any sniffles in the morning." And you were like,
"That's the nicest thing anyone's ever done for me."
And it was like, I realized after like when, like her response to like me buying this fucking air filter, which I just thought was just like, "Oh, of course, like it's functional. Of course, I would do that because that's better for her." It was this moment of like I could see her heart fall out of her chest. I'm like,
"I died."
Oh.
Yeah, I died. I was like,
"Okay, so." I was like, "God, the bar is low." Okay. Cool.
Shit. Okay, moving on. Quality time. Uninterrupted and focused conversations, one-on-one time is important. Create special moments, take walks, and do small things with your partner. That was higher for you than it was for me.
Which one?
Quality time.
27%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mine was like 13%. Mine was like half that.
I think quality time is important to me because we're both very busy.
Yeah.
And time is probably my most and your most valuable asset.
Absolutely.
And so quality time to me is not about the like hours and hours that we, quality time is not, let's make sure Saturday we just do nothing but spend time with each other. Like, I don't like the idea of this is our day and this is, that's going to be something like, to me, it's like, I'm busy. I'm so fucking busy. Everything's crazy all week, but somehow I never found a day where there wasn't 10 or 15 minutes that we just like got to refresh together.
Yeah, totally.
And to me, it's just like, it's so easy to get consumed by work and this, and there's always mm-hmm. something else to do, but mm-hmm. to like, you know what, I'm tired. And not only am I tired, I just want to like sit here and lay with you. Mm-hmm. That to me is important.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that like for someone whose love language is high for quality time, like I know Remy is like, that's one of her languages is quality time.
Remy Cruz,
yeah. And
Cruising with Remy.
And like, I feel like if you don't understand that and you don't make the effort to make sure that you have quality time together, I think that can be really difficult. And even though they're like, well, I haven't done anything wrong, it's just that the communication there of not understanding how important that is just can become so problematic. Okay, so an act of service, which is both of our biggest ones, let them know you are wanting to help to lighten their load. So make them breakfast or dinner, go out of way to help with chores. Oh, I didn't even get into this, but like things to avoid for this one, it's lacking follow through on small and large tasks.
Oh, interesting.
Which makes so much sense because like.
I have a story after this. Continue.
I have a story after this as well. Go ahead. Go first.
Follow through so important. I've had a couple experiences with a couple ex-girlfriends before, and it's not even about the, well, it's about the follow through, don't get me wrong, but it's not about the one-off thing that just didn't get done. It's when I'm going to do that later or this, or like, you know that they're like assigned a thing that they're supposed to do. That's right. Just like something that they do. And you start doubting the fact that they're ever going to do it because of the person that they are. Like, oh right. Yeah, they'll never get around to that. They say they're going to do that and they're never going to do that.
Yeah.
That to me is the biggest turnoff that you can never come back from.
I hate it.
Not because like, oh, they're having a super busy week this week mm-hmm. and they probably won't get around to it. It's like, no, you're not going to do that.
Yeah. Because that's just who they are.
It deteriorates your emotions. All right, go ahead.
Anyway, so what I was going to say is that we were about to do a workout and there was just like poop all over the lawn. And you know what? You're the most sensitive one to it. Like you gag at like the smell of it when we open the garage doors and work out half indoors, half outside.
Lauren's nose is half broken. So
it really is. I'm just like always stuffed up at all times. So I don't really smell anything. So anyways, I was like, babe, do you mind going and picking up the poop? And you're like, no, like I'm no. And I was like, oh, what the fuck? So I was like a little salty about it. Like, I even remember texting my friends being like, should I be pissed off about this? Like, I feel really mad, but this is like over something so stupid. Like, I think it's fine. It's fine, right? Like, should I be mad? And then anyways, next workout rolls around and you come inside and you're like, I just picked up all the poop, babe. And I was like, you picked up the But just like the follow through on something that small and also like an act of service, I was like, yes.
But also, I'm big on, in terms of acts of service, and this is just like a look into my life and like all the things that, like the act of service, the gift, the literally all these things mean 10 times more to me if I didn't ask for it.
Right, 100%, exactly,
and
exactly.
And I feel
exactly.
like when you said, hey, can you go pick the poop? Nah. But for some reason, when I was outside and I saw poop later on,
right,
I was like, I'm gonna get this. Because to me, it was like that, to me, it means more to me. It's like, you're not asking me to do it, I'm just gonna do it.
Right.
That's my way of covering up for the fact that I was just lazy that morning.
Right. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, it did. It really did. Yeah. And now we're back at score zero.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history to severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or take medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Question for you in comparison to like your type or your love language, right? Mm-hmm. Thinking back to your ex-boyfriends or whatever, right? Did they have similar love languages to me? Like, is your type similar in the sense of the way that they wanted to be loved, or mm-hmm. were they all different?
They were all different, I would say.
Is there a theme?
No, not really. It's kind of all over the place. I mean, everyone that I've dated has always been like very different. I would say one boyfriend for sure was quality time, but I think that was also due to the fact that we were like a little bit long distance as well.
Got it.
So there was probably an element of insecurity there, and quality time meant more than the other ones. I'm sure it was like a circumstantial situation. And then honestly, my last relationship, like I don't fucking know. We were just on such different pages on everything that like,
this is the one with Alex.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. Alex
and I. In case anyone was wondering. Yeah.
We just were on different fucking planets. And I think we both know that. And you know, that was not the only root problem of that relationship, but you know, that's a big part of it. It's just that like, if you don't understand each other's love languages, then it's just missed connections. Mm-hmm. Every time you go out of your way to do something for them, like I like to give in acts of service to show my love. And if that person doesn't receive and appreciate it, I feel like I'm not loved. You know what I mean? So if they're...
Woo!
What?
Striking hot, I'm right with you on that one.
Yeah. So if I feel underappreciated, it's just like, that's the worst. It's at the bottom of my list of things that I want to feel is underappreciated.
Right.
Especially it's like when I have so much other shit going on, but I make time to like go out of my way to inconvenience myself to do something for you, like an act of service of whatever it might be. And it goes unnoticed and totally unappreciated. And maybe even just I don't want that. It's just, there's just nothing that feels worse for me as someone who like values that. So I like to give and receive in that way, but it can be hard.
But I think that comes down to the compatibility piece, right?
For
sure. That's where like the love language takes over. Cause like to me, I am very much in the sense of like, I think acts of service are the most important. I just do. Like once you know, and it's acts of service, and this isn't necessarily something in like the high school and college days, like this is when I feel like you get out and it's
for
more
sure.
the real world.
Yeah,
cause like
yeah,
there's only
real world.
Like bandwidth wise, when you're in high school and college, like your job is to like get through and not drop out and somehow come away with a degree. After that, I think like picking up on little things that are like lifestyle choices are so important.
Yep.
And in past relationships, I have like doubled down on acts of service to like do more of them. Cause I feel like they weren't getting recognized until you hit that brick wall of like, oh, so you just don't recognize shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And then you feel resentful. It's just a deep, dark hole and a slippery slope there for sure. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I don't think I've really had anything serious with people whose love language is physical touch, but I feel like I've maybe like had like a couple dates where their PDA.
Oh, level was not matched to yours.
Was not on the same. Yeah. Like, I guess unless I'm like shit faced drunk at like, in my college days, like the idea of just like public display of affection is more uncomfortable to me than anything
else. We have a couple.
Yeah, so Matt Fine and Tiff. Y'all.
Moff.
Yeah, so these two, I mean,
they're basically fucking.
We're at a fucking bowling alley,
moment,
all right?
And they're like humping each other. We're just like, you might as well just be fucking.
Everybody has those friends, though.
Yeah, 100%.
Everybody has those friends. Yeah. Just like, for whatever reason, like, everyone's, it's a good,
they're,
everyone's hanging out.
Their physical touch, their like, love language is
I'm talking
touch,
to somebody
sure.
else's girlfriend, you're talking to somebody. You know what I mean? Like,
and
I'm
Moff
like,
is in the corner basically fucking.
Like, everybody's, it's just like, why don't y'all just go home? If you just want to hang out with each other, why don't y'all just go? They're going to hear this and go, you guys fucking kidding? That's not us.
But you know what's so funny is that anytime they catch us, like, sneak a kiss, they'll be like, oh, you're making out.
Uh-huh. But, like, if you go to any party that Lauren and I are at, 60% of the party, we're not in the same room.
No, we're not together. Well, I mean, we fucking see each other all day. I want to talk to other people.
Yeah.
And see our friends. Yeah, no, 100%. Moff, we love you so much. And I love that you're so in love with each other and can't keep your hands off each other. But get a fucking room.
Yep.
Oh my God, damn, you really put them on blast like that. I was gonna keep it anonymous. Damn. Let's actually go through things to avoid. These are interesting. So words of affirmation is not recognizing or appreciating effort. So I feel like that goes hand in hand with acts of service. It's like the reciprocating end of when you're given an act of service. Physical touch, physical neglect or abuse, obviously that's much less than feeling love. That's much less.
Physical abuse?
That's total other side of the spectrum. Receiving gifts, things to avoid. Unenthusiastic gift receiving, forgetting special occasions. I had a friend who was so obsessed. She gave gifts to receive gifts.
Oh, my least favorite.
Oh yeah, it was, and it just felt like a manipulation tactic where it's like, if I knew that she was spending this amount that I would have to match that so she would spend more so she could receive more. And it was exhausting. I was like, oh my God, gift giving should be like, I love giving gifts. And I actually feel a little more awkward receiving them than giving them, but I love being able to like find something and make something custom, like not like make something with my own hands. I mean, sometimes, but like I love finding the perfect gift for someone. Like I love giving gifts. And
it's not a one size fits all, buy 20 of these and send them on out. It's like, she would like it this, he would want it this.
Right. Exactly. Like if I find gummy bears that are bourbon whiskey flavored and pick them up for you, it's like, I love being like, oh my God, this is so cute. And
even if they're not even good, the idea is that you were somewhere and saw bourbon whiskey, whatever. And were like, I have to get these for Jeremy.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I had a friend who gifts were all that mattered, and holidays and occasions were like just like big spending events. And
but also like read the room. If nobody else is walking around acting like they're fucking Santa Claus, cause it's, I don't know, Mother's Day. You know what I mean? Like calm down.
I know. But it's hard because if that is how they receive love, it's like, you just have to have a mutual understanding about that. I just, I don't, I think in a relationship, I could figure it out if I knew that it was so important to them. But in a friendship, I was like, okay, we got to fucking relax here. Like, this is a lot.
I mean, like, and also for me, like the tent pole of like highest compliment I can give to my friend is like, we'll go with the flow.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have to be strategic and plan out my friendships.
Yeah. Quality time, distractions when spending time together, long time without one-on-one time. I feel like I hear about this so much from girls who are in relationships, and not necessarily girls, just like people who are in relationships with someone who's obsessed with video games.
Oh.
I feel like that's such a common problem starter.
Right.
Where quality time, it's like you're in the same room as them, but they're not there.
Right.
And well, even just like cell phones being so popular too.
Yeah, but they're not there. The same wavelength, right? If you're both mindlessly on your kind of cell phone, just like kind of together, just like.
You're right.
Like, I feel like I would take quality time with you in the sense of like, we've both been working all day.
Right.
And I want to just sit on our fat cloud couch, yeah. like an inch away from each other, uh-huh, and just check up on what happened during the day.
Right.
I'll take that as quality time.
Yes.
And because we'll share things back and forth. Like our texts and DMs are nothing but just like shared like dog photos, uh-huh, and random TikToks that you sent me all the time.
That
but
you
like,
never watch.
No, I watch all of them. And but that's okay. But it'd be one thing if like you're I so was right. doing
it's the
that.
Wavelength.
Yeah. Are you vibing on the same?
Are you vibrating at the same frequency, babe? Oh.
But yeah.
But yeah, it's so true because like if a girlfriend is sitting just like on the bed, bored on her phone, waiting for the boyfriend to be done playing video games with the bros and screaming into the headset, you know what I mean? Like you are vibrating at different fucking frequencies.
But also with that, I think a lot of partners, guy or girl, will look at that and say, I'm in the room. You have the option to vibe with me,
right,
and you are actively vibing on a different frequency. I don't like that. And more along the lines of like, no, that's okay.
Oh, I don't know. I've actually never dated someone who's been big into video games, but I have so many friends who struggle with that. And even it's just like something that just like people love for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like some people grow out of it, some people don't.
Yeah, I haven't played them in like 10 years, but like people love them.
So Jeremy really doesn't get down with like the different personality tests and the horoscopes and all that.
I mean, I don't get down with it.
You fucking hate a horoscope. Don't even lie. You hate a horoscope.
I don't hate a horoscope. I just don't think it is the definition and the best explanation for why any and everybody is the exact thing that they are.
No, not at all. Totally not at all.
Oh, because this fucking ball of gas was passing this other one and the alignment of the earth was here, so that's why I like fucking Pringles at 12 o'clock? No! Makes no sense.
Is that why I like Pringles at 12 o'clock? I'm a Leo?
Yeah.
Makes no sense. Oh, I'm so glad I know that now. I feel better. Just,
living in LA, you are perpetually like reminded because in conversation, someone will say something about like that and like, yeah, and then like I got cut off and like, I'm a Taurus, so, and I'm like, huh? What does that have to do with anything?
It means that they're stubborn, so they probably didn't like getting cut off because they're stubborn.
No,
that's
Cindy, that does not mean that you have to be stubborn the rest of your life.
I mean, Moose is a Taurus and he's stubborn as hell.
Anyway, my point is this. I think there's a big difference between personality tests and putting yourself into a box of like, oh, this is like what I resonate with.
Oh, so you actually like a personality test more than a horoscope.
Yes, I do like the science-backed personality test more than I like the, okay, they're going to say it's all both science-backed. I like the,
I
like one more than the other
one. Astrology version versus,
and I'm going to get shit on here because everyone loves astrology and I don't and fuck
no,
me.
No, I think people like astrology. It's a scale for sure. And I mean, like I love reading astrology stuff. I don't live and die by it and no means would like make a big decision based off of it. But it's always fun to be able to find ways. But you know what? I'm sure I could read any sign's horoscope and somehow find a way to apply it to my life. You know what I mean?
You don't think?
Well,
you really think that?
Also, there are more than 12 types of people in the world.
What?
But you know what? There's also the whole side of like, you're a rising this and stuff like that. It can get so deep. You're such
crazy.
A fucking troll. Let us live, okay?
Yeah,
you're such an Aquarius. Anyways, what I love making new boyfriends do is the Myers-Briggs test. If you've never taken it, I think there's a free one on 16personalities.com, not sponsored, but it tells you, and it's four different dichotomies, and there are 16 different Enneagrams that you can have. I'm an ESFJ. And what are you, babe?
What am I?
An ESTJ?
whatever executive is.
I think it's, yeah, ESTJ. So anyways, I don't want to fuck this up, but basically the first one is an introvert versus an extrovert. And I feel like we're both, me more than you, I would say, like, I'm almost right in the middle of an introvert and extrovert.
Right. Definitely. You're closer to ambivert.
Definitely an ambivert, for sure. But because it's a dichotomy, like, I lean towards the extroversion side, for sure.
Are you an extrovert rising introvert?
I hate you. No, I'm an ambivert, okay, babe?
As an Aquarius rising Cancer, Capricorn, I don't even know what I am.
You're an Aquarius.
Yeah, but I don't know what my rising and whatever else is. I was born at 4:12 afternoon, whatever that means.
I'm sure someone will tell you. You actually know what time you were born at?
January 22nd, 4:12 in the afternoon.
Okay, can someone do Jeremy's star chart and tell him everything about his
life? In Rockford, Illinois.
Oh, yeah, Rockford, Illinois. Yeah, you have to have that
as well.
At
Swedish American Hospital. Uh-huh. I probably just gave away about 7 of my passwords.
Definitely. Okay, so Myers-Briggs is based on the 4 dichotomies. So extroversion or introversion. So we're both extroverts.
Okay.
Information. Do you prefer to focus on the basic information you take in, or do you prefer to interpret and add meaning? Sensing versus intuition.
Latter.
Yes. No, you're a sensing.
A sensing?
I think you're a sensing, weren't you? Yeah, you're an ESTJ. You're a sensing. So, no, but that means you focus on the basic information and take it in.
Right.
Right, so that's sensing.
Oh.
Intuition is when you add meaning to it.
Oh, no, I was just like, you take the information.
Oh, yeah. So you're the S of sensing, and then decision making. Do you prefer to first look at logic and consistency, or first look at the people and special circumstances? This is called thinking versus feeling. So I'm feeling. I'm always in my fucking feels. I'm for sure feeling. This is where you're thinking.
I sit in the middle of it, yeah.
Yeah, so you prefer to first look at logic and you love logic. Are you kidding me?
But I love logic, but I know that it isn't like, I would take into consideration the EQ portion of that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like the logic is sound. That doesn't move, right? But I will also add in the variable of the fact that I'm dealing with humans and humans are fucking emotional.
I'm an emotional wreck.
Right. Yeah. I guess I just wouldn't get distracted by the end portion of it. I would
you consider
I would
it?
Let that inform me.
Right. Oh yeah, no, I just go straight with the gut feeling. And
ignores
then,
facts.
Totally ignores facts. Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know what? That makes a lot of sense with anxiety. Just ignores facts and irrational fears.
Yeah, yes, I guess if you say so.
Structure. In dealing with the outside world, do you prefer to get things decided, or do you prefer to stay open to new information and options? It's called judging or perceiving. So we prefer, Jay?
I judge
for sure. Get things decided. Oh yeah. Oh, I want to make decisions. Yeah, I want nothing open-ended. I love routine. I love structure. Judge that shit up.
I judge too much.
Okay. So I'm an ESF. Jay. And I love these because I feel like it, I don't know. And maybe it's because there's 16 of them versus like the 12 horoscopes. And again, I know that it's like on a different frequencies, you know, different frequencies. I get it. I totally get it.
One is completely fucked anyway.
Okay. Oh my God. So here are my adjectives. I'm the console, actively sociable, warm, harmonizer, caring, enthusiastic, empathic, people-oriented, practical, responsible, orderly, conscientious, can barely say conscientious, cooperative, appreciative, and loyal. That feels pretty accurate, right?
There was definitely a few of them that were really close.
Did I pronounce everything wrong?
No, you pronounced them great. That one you did. There was nothing wrong there.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel I kind of want to see the negatives though about ESFJ.
A little while ago when you were saying dichotomy and Enneagram, I was like, damn, all right. Those more syllables than you've pronounced correctly in this entire show.
Okay, I think I'm being bullied.
Yeah, but you nailed it.
I think I'm being a victim of bullying.
You nailed it. You second guess your pronunciation often.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, because I would say 50-50, I'm wrong.
Well, 100% right this last time.
Hell yeah. Okay, ESTJ, you are the executive, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Active organizer, logical, assertive, fact-minded, decisive, practical, results-oriented, analytical, systematic, concrete, critical, responsible, take charge, common sense. That is absolutely fucking you. You know what this says to me? This says realist.
Why would you not be a realist?
Because I'm an optimist, babe.
It's not to say that I don't understand and appreciate optimism, but at the end of the day,
logic says that realism is the winter, baby. So anyway, I love, I don't know. I just feel like it's a deeper understanding of yourself. I don't necessarily apply it to other people. I love like hearing what yours is and being like, oh yeah, that does make sense. But like personally, I took this in university and I was like, oh shit, I am an ESFJ as fuck. And it just feels nice to like, I like putting myself in a category. Like I like kind of being in this box. Like a lot of times I don't want to be in a box and I like to think outside of the box. But for something like this, it there's like a level of comfort that I'm in this box. Martha Stewart's an ESFJ.
Martha Stewart smokes hella weed.
I love that for Martha Stewart.
Yeah, I just, I guess I'm glad that you relate to it. I'm glad you feel good about it.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with anything that you just said about me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see about the bad things about you. ESTJ.
I'm surprised you have to look this up.
Cons. No, wait. Oh, wait. ESTJ negatives. Oh, negative traits. Here we go. Let's go. Roast him. Ooh. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Can be extremely judgmental. Can be stubborn, inflexible, unreasonable, and overly rigid. Materialistic. Tend to believe they're always right.
I'm really bad about being wrong sometimes.
So bad about being wrong. So bad. Tendency to be bossy, easily agitated, impatient with sloppiness and inefficiency. Oh, that one is woo, right on the nose. Not naturally in tune with the feelings of others. I don't agree with that one, but
no.
Wow. Yeah. The impatient with inefficiency. If you ever want to see Jeremy just pissed off as fuck is at the airport. Oh my God.
Oh my God. People are their worst version of themselves.
Okay. Here are my negatives. Not that I have any, but just. Oh, sorry. ESFJ is the caregiver. I got that mixed up. I don't know what the cons hold. Oh, maybe it's the same one. Okay. Prone to struggle with insecurity stemming from their strong desire to be liked. Babe. Tendency to need lots of positive affirmation or to feel good about themselves. Strongly dislikes criticism and conflict.
No.
Can be overly sensitive.
That's not you. That's not you. Keep going. These are okay. Questionable at best.
Tendency to partake in gossip. No comment. Can be overly status conscious and too concerned about what others think about them. Can be dramatic. Tendency to dislike change. Oh, bitch, don't change. Don't change anything. It's fine. You don't have to change anything. May have a hard time accepting the end of a relationship. Hence why I'm a serial dater. I just love it. I love it so much.
These are all exactly you.
Oh, I know.
There hasn't been one that I'm like, eh.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, their respect for rule of law and authority and tradition may cause them to blindly accept rules without questioning or understanding them. I've definitely fallen victim to that a few times.
You are, for whatever reason, if the right like mouth or person or situation just tells you something, you're like, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
Just accepts immediately. Yeah. Even if you have facts in your head that would completely go against it, for whatever reason, something's like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
And like, I'll just be like, well, but you know that's not true. And you're like, what do you mean?
The only thing is, though, is that if some kind of authority tells me something that I don't agree with.
Oh, God. Speaking of airports.
Yeah, speaking of airports, there's been a few times where I've...
You have a weird... issue with authority in the most strange of fucking scenarios sometimes.
I know. And I've never had issues with authority. There was this one teacher who just treated me so differently in class than everyone else. And she got so mad at me all the time and sent me for a walk around the halls. I get kicked out of class all the time.
To go take a walk?
To go take a walk around the halls.
I would have fucking walked my ass to my car and left.
Okay, so didn't have a car.
I would have been so mad.
So was stuck there. But yeah, I was so mad. I was so mad. And that was the first time that I ever like talked back to a teacher and like not questioned authority, but was like, fuck you. Like, fuck, like, what do you mean? Like, it would be like if me and someone else were talking, probably shouldn't have been talking, I would be the one every single time out in the hall taking a lap.
That's funny. I would love to see you.
I was mad.
Get disciplined like that.
Oh, you know what? I think I just got, my tolerance for some bullshit got less and less as I got older in high school. We had this ridiculous rule where you couldn't wear ripped jeans. You couldn't have jeans that had holes in them. And this is when like holy jeans were so trendy and it genuinely was like kind of difficult to find jeans that didn't have holes in them that were like sold.
Because, well, they didn't have like any
like,
wear.
Distressing. Yeah.
Because they didn't become holes after you wash them.
Right.
Times.
Wash them once. And so I would get sent home. Oh yeah, I don't know how to. No, my mom
did
my laundry.
Doing that, so yeah.
So it would have been fine. But yeah, the principal would just like send people home recklessly if you had holes in your jeans. So at that point, I was just like, I will see you tomorrow, principal.
I think the dumbest shit though. Like that's one of those like rules that you're like, and I get that like it's a rule and you have to follow it. And that's part of like being in school. You just learn how to follow rules, whether you agree with them or not. But like some things are just like, fuck, why does that matter?
Also, it's like, for the sake of my education, you're sending me home because there's a 1 centimeter hole in my jeans. Like, get fucked. I have authority problems.
I definitely had, I didn't have authority issues because like I had respect issues for people that I didn't think deserved it. And so like when you're a kid,
could get you into trouble.
Oh my God. But when you're a kid, like my least favorite, someone who's like a challenger and like, I do not just accept things when someone says like, hey, it's blue.
Yeah.
It's fucking green. And like, whether I'm right or wrong, like if I think it's green, I must just like spit it back there.
You're like a debater.
Well, I challenge things.
For sure.
Period. Like that's
drives
me
crazy.
And I had the hardest time when someone's only comeback was because I'm in charge, because I'm older, because I'm mature.
I said
like,
so.
But it's like, I can't imagine from my perspective, if like some little kid like told me something that I didn't agree with, if my answer was only because I've existed longer than you, then my argument sucks.
But I feel like if they were to come back with that argument, like, you know that they've got to be insecure about that answer when they're delivering it.
Of course, but that's just the drove me the fucking wall.
Right.
Yeah. And like business, I this whole 16, I don't think it's that complicated. To me, there are three types of people: assertive, analytical, and accommodators. You got people that are, they want to be the boss. Mm-hmm. You have people that only rely on numbers and facts and does it make money or not. Mm-hmm. And you have people that are going to go out of their way to do any and everything to make you feel good about whatever it is.
Oh my God, like, I'm a commentator.
You're an accommodator. You are. Until you're not.
Until I'm not.
There are things that like us doing this type of business together, I'm shocked that I'm like, yo, chill out. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we lose our patience at things differently.
Definitely.
And then but I will say, and maybe it's changing. We're like getting more similar. You are adopting my way of dealing with those conflicts from like a written communication standpoint.
Definitely.
Miles and miles differently than when we first met.
For sure. Jeremy has, he's really just like learned the art of strategic conversation.
I've learned the art of say what you want to say.
Yeah, but it's say what you want to say, but also get what you want without offending anyone.
Right.
Because like, I feel like I'm either like this, it's the same thing with the patients. It's like, I'm either at zero, like I'm totally accommodating for everything that you could ever ask for, or I'm at 100% no chill. And I'm just like fucking ripping new assholes. Like I'm
halfway
just
through
fucking
an email
mad
that you don't come back from. And I'm like, whoa. Like you're right here. Don't be the wrong person.
Right. Yeah. No. But we call it T-Rex typing when I'm typing an angry email and I'm just slamming on keys like a T. If you're watching the video, I'm T-Rex like bah, 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 uh-huh. And I'm mad. Yeah. So it's 0 to 100 very quickly. And maybe that's something that I should work on. But when the patience is gone, the patience is gone.
Well, you can always tell if like you're an accommodator when you ask questions in a written form or even like verbally, if you give the person you're asking the question the out for if they are giving you an answer that doesn't align with what you want. For example, like, are you going to be able to pick up the kids or are you going to be too busy? All I have to do is like, and you're going to pick up the kids, right? As opposed to be like, or are you going to be too busy? Or like, or do you have something else to do? Or giving them an out beforehand. Yeah. Cause you're literally thinking about the worst case scenario and you feel like you have to say that.
Oh my God, that's me.
And people will either relate to that or not, but like, and people feel uncomfortable cause they're just like, hey, are you going to be able to do this?
My dad, I don't even know where he falls into all of this, but my mom and I we think it's so funny because he's just so, he's so predictable. When I wasn't able to drive and I would be like, oh dad, like, do you mind, like, could you drop me off at like the mall or whatever? Like I'm gonna go hang out with my friends. He'd be like, well, I have to do this and I have to run to the store and do it. And I'm like, yes or no? Yes or no? So I wasn't even giving him an out, but he was giving me like not even a concrete answer. Right. And my mom and I were just like, yes or no?
Commit or not.
Commit or not.
Yep.
And so I don't know where he falls into all of that, but it was, fuck, I'll never, sorry, dad. Love you.
Good old Greg.
Love Greg. Also, we've done such a great job of not talking about like dicks and sex on this podcast
so far.
And
if we could keep it that way, that'd be great if we could have, I don't know, a monetized podcast.
Someone DM'd me today. So when I reached out on Instagram to everyone and was just like, what do you guys want to hear on the pod? Someone was like, fuck you, your podcast sucks. Make family-friendly content. And it was just such a such a
fuck you too, little bitch.
This girl had to be like 13. Like,
oh, she was never mind. I take it back.
I was like, did you just tell me to go fuck myself, but then also tell me to make family friendly content? Like, I'm getting mixed signals from you here.
Yo,
Jessica.
The amount of comments that I see of like moms. I mean, we have more moms that watch this podcast than anything, and I'm for the fucking energy. Yeah. We've got moms. We got doctors.
Wait, oh my God, babe, should we tell them the exciting thing that we're working on or not yet?
What are we working on?
Starts with an M.
Oh, God, I thought it was a different M word. Yes, merchandise we could talk about. No, let's not talk about merch.
Okay.
They ain't ready. And also, we're not ready. We haven't even signed shit.
Okay, so cut it out.
We don't even got to cut it out. No.
We're designing some really cute shit.
Okay. We're trying to get some Christmas ideas.
Yeah, we're trying to get some Christmas ideas to hit the holiday stuff. It'll just be like a limited edition, like nothing crazy. But since I obviously don't wear real clothes ever, I figured that we should be wearing some Wild Till 9 shit while we're sitting here.
Indubitably.
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 Without a doubt.
Indubitably.
Certainly. Okay, something else we haven't really talked about that is like very, very much related that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Is getting too comfortable.
I, you know what? I, throughout my years of like doing Q&As and giving, attempting to give relationship advice, I have gotten so many messages, and they're always so sad because it's someone who's been in a relationship for a long time, usually a couple of years, and they love the person. They have so much love for the person, but they're not in love with that person.
Right.
They have love, but they're not in love, and they feel trapped, and they feel as if they've gotten too comfortable, and they're staying for the security blanket.
Right.
It's hard. What do you do? I mean, oh. and you leave. You leave is what the answer is. Is that like you're doing yourself and them a disservice by staying in that relationship. And it's so hard.
I think that, I mean, marriage and relationships and being engaged and the titles and everything are so difficult because of, you know, life. I think the hardest part is that we live in a world that has never, I think at least, moved and changed and transformed and evolved so fast.
Right.
And the person that I am today, I sure as hell hope is very different from the person I am in 5 and 10 years.
Right, right. As you should. As you should be.
And why is it that we accept that for a fact, but don't keep that same level of, like that same standard in our relationships in the sense of pushing yourself and your other, you know, significant other to continue to rise and change and be okay with that? Or if you're not okay with that, got to move on and communicate that.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's tough. I think that people can get too comfortable. They take advantage of what they have. They stop showing appreciation for that person. They stop making them feel special. And I think with social media now, it's so easy for someone to think or see that the grass could be greener.
Oh, the distractions have never been better.
The distractions have never been so plentiful. And so I think it's hard. And not to say that the grass, you know, maybe is greener on the other side.
For sure.
You know what I mean? If you're in a relationship where you're stuck and you're too comfortable and you're just like going through the motions.
But I think there's a big difference between thinking and knowing and feeling like you want more.
Right.
Than seeing a thing that you don't have and associating value of what you deserve with that.
For sure. For sure. For sure. For sure. Absolutely. That's totally two different things. Yeah, I totally agree.
And like, we all have friends with boyfriends and girlfriends. We're like, yo, what in the fuck? And like a lot of times if like they're able to admit that and say like, yeah, like it's not like how it used to be or this or that or whatever eventually, but they still aren't going to make those actions. And it's just like, it's probably hard. And I've been there and you've been there before. Of just like communicating the fact that like, that ain't it anymore.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I wish I had a better answer for it, but like it is.
That's like, it's almost like one of the saddest breakups. Like in those types of breakups, like I almost wish, not that I ever wish anyone to be cheated on,
right.
But it's almost easier when there's anger involved.
Well, something to focus the emotions toward.
The emotions towards, right. So it's, you're like, well, fuck that person. They cheated on me. Like, fuck you. I deserve better. But it's harder when they're a good person and you genuinely have so much love for them.
No, it's harder when there's kids. That's what it's hardest.
Oh, shit. Well, damn. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine having kids in the picture. Even a pet.
Right. But like, I think that as we get older and we have like friends with more kids and everything, like it'll be interesting. Cause like, I think some shit changes and some shit always like stays the same.
Right.
And it's like the amount of like my friends whose parents, like, cause my mom was single for like 98% of the time that like I've been alive kind of thing. Mm. And like the amount of my friends who I feel like the wife would say things to my mother when it was just like me and like their son or whatever evolved about like what they didn't like about their husband was the right. darkest, craziest, nastiest shit or whatever. And also in front of the kid too, right? Mm. And it was just like, wow, you guys have fallen so far from right. whatever like this right. initial spark
yes.
was.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's not to say like, I think you should stay together at all costs. Don't get me wrong if there's kids there, but not at the expense of your long-term happiness
yeah.
that then permeates and affects everything else.
Right. Especially it's like, I feel like I have so many like girls in their young 20s who have been dating the same dude for a couple of years or same girl, whatever it is. And you're just so young. You're so young. You're so young. And if you are not 100% satisfied and feel as if you're growing together, move the fuck on. It's so sad and it's hard. And I feel like people get overwhelmed so easily with the logistics of breaking up. You know what I mean? It's like the apartment, the bills, like, can I afford this?
Which
like,
are all valid concerns.
100%, 100%. But in the long term, it will be worth it. It will be worth it. 110 bajillion percent.
But, comma, and not to say that that's not 100% correct. I think the big piece is if you're going to make those moves, right, don't just fall into the same trap and not think about what your love language is and what right. you are compatible with and yep. what you're compatible not with, mm. right, when you go to do that again, because otherwise you're just going to continue to fall into that same trap for yourself.
Oh, totally.
I think it's like half self-realization of what's going on with you, but also like what you do and don't want with your significant other in your life.
Absolutely.
Or I feel finding like happiness without a significant other and just going through life single too. That's completely fine.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when I look back at all my relationships, I took something very specific from that relationship that I left and was like, next time I need to make sure I have this and I see this in that person and I give this. And every single time I feel like I've, I don't want to say upgraded, but I've just found someone who's more compatible. I've just
Are
found,
you guys mad about that? No, so, hey, they're not mad.
Wait. No one's mad. Okay, great. Yeah, got it.
You can say it.
I've just found someone that's more compatible.
No, you could say it.
And that should be the goal, though, is that every relationship should be more compatible than the last. An upgrade.
Okay, there we go. Yeah.
Sure. There you go.
That was hard.
That was tough. Yeah.
Maybe the biggest upgrade ever.
But it... upgrade just makes it sound physical, and that's just a very surface level.
Upgrade you. Yeah, babe.
Upgrade you. Yeah. No, but I think that everyone should aim to upgrade in terms of happiness and how you're treated and how you communicate. Like, everything should improve.
But like the biggest piece here, and like when I say upgrade, an upgrade for you might not be the same upgrade as somebody else. Like two guys could be way better for somebody else. So like your upgrade could be somebody. I assure you, I'm a downgrade for a lot of women out there. They'd be like, I'm not dealing with his shit. His mouth way too fucking, not going to handle that. Like, I'm sure there are plenty of people that like, you know, so like that upgrade is completely customized for you and your
lifestyle.
Situational, right.
I heard someone say, I think it was Mia on her Truth or Drink with Alicia. I heard her say situational and I was like, My bitch.
Ours.
Our bitch.
Right.
Our bitch.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Okay, babe. I just Googled the compatibility of ESTJ with ESFJ in relationships. I'm a psychopath and I love to Google this the moment that we could be talking for 6 days and I will be like, Leo and Aquarius compatibility. Just to see. It's not gonna make me cancel a date. It's not gonna make me marry someone, but it's just out of curiosity, you know? Okay, here we go. Wow, babe, what if we're supposed to hate each other?
Well, that'd be this morning.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Let me guess. We're like pretty compatible.
Okay, so ESTJs and ESFJs have some common themes that often arise when they get to know each other. You'll want to keep these issues in mind when you get to know an ESFJ. You'll quickly realize this person as a fellow You'll quickly recognize this person as a fellow upstanding citizen, a practical sort, with someone and someone you can rely on to get things done. While you may disagree on the specifics of things, you share a general interest in
pragmatism.
No, there's no ick in there. Pragmatism.
That's a new word for me.
Yeah, share a general interest in pragmatic. Oh, God damn it.
So it's being pragmatic.
Pragmatic.
Right.
Process and correctness. You likely will build rapport by sharing details about your lives and will feel connected when you discover shared history or commonalities in your life experience.
God, that's the boringest but also sexiest thing you've ever said.
I hate you. Communication can be a challenge between any two people. And communication between us is not the exception, but being aware of the issues that often arise when we communicate, you can quickly learn how to reach an understanding more quickly. You're both energetic communicators, and you may find that when you're together, you're both eager to talk. While this can make for some lively discussions, it can also be frustrating because you may end up competing for the floor. Oh, we definitely don't have a problem. I just let you go.
Babe, you're always the queen. Whenever you want the floor, it's yours.
Thanks, babe. My love, my everything. It's important that when you're together, you both focus on being good listeners as well as sharing your own thoughts. This is something you can work on together and is a worthy task, as developing your listening skills will benefit all your relationships. That's fucking basic. I feel like we're both pretty good listeners. So you, the ESTJ, have a tendency to call it like it is without too much concern for how people react.
Oh, fucking shit.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a bad thing that I call it like it is?
This can create an imbalance in your dynamic where your feeling counterpart is desperately trying to maintain emotional harmony when you relentlessly rock the boat. Jeremy, why are you relentlessly rocking the fucking boat?
Because it's ingrained. You know why? Because I'm an Aquarius and...
an ESTJ.
I can't help it.
Sure, everyone wants honesty, but most people also like tact. If you're delivering news that may be hard to hear, think about how you can soften the message. And be aware that your ever so charming habit of offering unsolicited constructive criticism may not always be taken in the spirit it was intended. We have encountered that before.
I can think of a time or two.
Oh, God.
And then what are you? It just says perfect.
Yeah, it says I'm really good. Yeah, okay, everything's great.
Well,
so we're both traditionalists. You each put faith in the past and trust what has worked for many generations before you. You share an appreciation for the rules.
Unless they're stupid.
True. Fuck a stupid rule.
Right. I like the good ones.
You have a strong sense of duty.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace responsibility.
I just sound like I fucking am consistent and loyal and sharp and to the point.
And relentlessly, relentlessly rocking the boat. Seeing your commitments through. We both like to do that. It is unlikely that you would carelessly let the other person down. Yeah, honestly, I feel as if we're pretty compatible.
Well, thank God we have a survey to tell us that.
Yeah, thank God.
I'd be interested to hear in the comments what people are, and then like they listen to this podcast, one, and two, if they have like significant others, if they have ones that they do and don't get along with. I don't know how you make that into a concise comment, but I'd like to hear it.
Well, take your best shot. Take your best shot.
And then if anybody sees some, compatibility in the comments, shoot some DMs off.
Oh my God, if we connected a relationship through the pod, fuck. I would die. I would die.
Wow, we should make our own dating app.
Yeah.
And it should just be like your dating app is just what you do and don't like about the pod.
Yeah. And you can bond over that.
Right.
Honestly, that's probably how some friendships could be made as well.
Yeah. God, we should make a forum.
I don't even know what that means.
Are we still on the survey thing?
Yeah, I'm still on the survey. I just wanted to see if there was like a wrap-up comment, you know, if there was like a summary of like yes or no, do we get along? It's all pretty just like communicate and you will love each other. So communicate and we'll love each other and buy me a good Christmas present and also shovel the driveway as an act of service when we're in Big Bear for Christmas.
What? Don't forget to subscribe and like, subscribe on Apple and Spotify and
leave us a comment. What was our first thing to comment?
So your two comments are going to be whether or not you like beards and that's for men and women, of course. And whether or not.
And what your sign is and what your Myers-Briggs is.
Right. And if you have a partner, if yours match, if yours don't match, if you're the same, you're not the same. I want to hear it all.
Yeah, I want to hear it all. I love reading through the comments in the pod. It's my favorite. It's genuinely my favorite.
I actually do read probably 90% of the comments.
Yeah, same.
Especially the mean ones. And I sit there and just go,
and then do you try and delete them before I see them?
No.
Babe, I can take it.
No, I know you can.
I've been on the internet for a long time. I can take it.
I know.
That's some mean shit.
Yeah. Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck them. All right, well, on that note, this has been, who do you want to be today?
What's Michelle Obama's podcast called?
Oh, I don't know.
That one. This has been the Michelle Obama podcast.
You know, stick to what works.
You know,
stick
Spotify, works. I'm not sure who creative decided that. Well, to be fair, though, if my name was Michelle Obama, and I was Michelle Obama,
you would probably name the podcast after
Michelle
yourself.
Obama. Yeah, right,
Michelle Obama. Okay. This has been the Michelle Obama podcast. I'm Addison Ray, and hope you enjoyed the podcast.
I'm Addison Ray's mother.
Bye!
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.